which is now getting into kind of the end of this 2 more weeks. And once you have that, you just sat down, so why not get right back up? You know what I mean? Let's stand for the reading of God's word this morning. Now, I've set this scene up for you, and so I'm not going to do it again and repeat, but I just want to remind you to be thinking about the words of Jesus. And as we read this, it's important to know that there is an order. Now, I'm not very ordered. The people that know me well, I'm kind of sporadic, and I jump from thing to thing. The good thing is they all get done just in a very sporadic order, and I have to consciously, like, persevere. Do you ever have to do that? I was doing a project yesterday, and I got 2 holes in, and I said to myself, I'll do it another day, but the tools were out, the stuff was there, right? So I would have put it away and brought it back out another time, and I said, okay, Lord, I'm just going to do it. Like, I have to have those mental, because it's hard, right? Order is sometimes hard. The order of this is important. And why I'm saying this is that we need to get this. Church, last week, the Lord challenged us to make a way in our heart where we could be pure of heart so that His Spirit could invade us, take us over, and speak into us so that we could be peacemakers. See, today isn't just about peace, it's about being a peacemaker. And so the order that Jesus has placed us in is key. It's key. So starting in verse 1, as just a reminder, seeing the crowds, He went up on the mountain. And when He sat down, His disciples came to Him, and He opened His mouth and taught them, saying these words, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed," and this is from last week, "are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And church, I hope in this kind of series, it's really easy to do, but as we've read through those, I hope that you're thinking about how God has moved in your life and each and every one of those areas. And then today, I pray that you've come with a spirit ready to say, okay, God, I'm ready for the next step. And verse 9 says this, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." God, today, God, I just pray that you would come into this space. You've already been here. You're moving. You're working. Let that work continue. God, wake us up. Wake us up to your call in this. There's a huge call in this. We have an expectation for peace. But God, it goes so much further than that. And so we just pray against the enemy. God, we pray that you'd bind the hands of Satan in the name of Jesus from this place. Cast him out. God, I pray that you would come in fullness and in wholeness. And God, work in the midst of me, because I may not always be the most peaceful person. And Lord, it's something that you're challenging me. And so God, let your words be clear. And we just pray today that your peace would enter into this place and would go out and stay with us. We love you. We praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 All right. I'm going to give you a quote. You ready for a quote?
Yeah.
Okay, it is a quote by C.S. Lewis, and I think it kind of sums up this whole morning. So, this is the quote. "God cannot give us the happiness and peace apart from himself." That's the first part. God cannot give us a happiness and peace apart from himself, because it is not there. There is no such thing. So basically what C.S. Lewis is saying, that if you want peace in your home, in your school, in your workplace, in your world, it can't happen outside of him. And interestingly enough, if you really get it, anything outside of Jesus, there isn't peace there. Anytime, and I think all of us could reflect in moments where we've actually decided consciously to say, you know what, God, I don't want to listen to you in this. And so we step out of that, and usually what's come in is a lack of what? Peace. When we look at the definition here of peace, peace is a settlement in our hearts that is based in an eternal connection with our God that is seen through internal and external contentment. Think about that for a second. Peace here is a settlement in our hearts that is based in an eternal connection with our God that is seen through internal and external contentment. Now, let's break it up. Are you ready to break it up? Okay, so peacemaker, we're going to get rid of maker, so say get rid of it. Okay, we'll go back to it later. Right now, we're going to focus on the word peace, and I want to just take you on a little bit of a fun journey here. Looking at that word translated, it is E-I-R-E-N-E, E-I-R-E-N-E. You want to say it? Now, my father-in-law does because he preached for over 30 years, and so how do you say it? Ernie? Oh, I like that, Ernie. Let's just say Ernie, okay? That actually is really, memorable, right? Ernie, what's Ernie goes to? All those old movies, anybody ever watch those? That's like really dating myself. Okay, but here's the interesting thing, is that this word is a very popular word in the New Testament as well as the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it is spoken of over 92 times. It's in every book except 1 John. I personally think John got tired of it. You know, he wrote John and then 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And so he decided in one of them, look, I'm leaving it out. I've talked about it enough, okay? Kind of like pastors. You say, hey, you say that thing over and over and over again. So only once is it excluded. In the Old Testament, peace is spoken of over 404 times. So I would say there's something to the kingdom of God and peace. Zacharias, he prophesied about his son, John the Baptist. You all know, and really it's actually, his name is John the Baptizer, not John the Baptist, but John the Baptizer, he's not a Baptist, and so we can rest in that. I'm just kidding. All right, that was bad, right? We're online. I'll delete it this afternoon. Okay. You know, I do that sometimes, right? People go back and say, where'd that one go? And I was like, yeah, I have like kind of a big mouth, and so I deleted that one, and it's in the way of wherever deleted stuff on the internet goes. But anyway, he prophesied this about his son, that his ministry would guide our feet into the way of peace. Which makes sense because he was the forerunner. He came before Jesus to like physically prepare the way. You remember his mom and Mary, they met and the baby in the womb jumped. And so his father said his ministry is to prepare the way for peace to come. Peace is hard though. Scripture tells us this in John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, and most of you can finish this. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Now, most of us would say this today, if we were real honest with ourselves. Isn't one of your hopes for yourself is to have internal peace? And then not only do you hope for like internal peace where your mind is like settled and content and okay, that then you hope for that for your family, you hope for that for your extended family. Like most of us would say, we have a great desire to see peace evident not only inside, but in all that which is around us. But interestingly enough, think about the opposite of peace. What's the opposite of peace? Violence. Right? Violence. Think about our society. Now, I'm not like talking like really conservative, but I kind of am. Think about sports. Now, I love football. And this week, as I looked at this example, let's think about football. It's violent. Here's what we do. We encourage it. Like, hey, whoever is the biggest, the toughest, like able to do the best tackles, like take them down. And then when our kids start doing it after watching it, we tell them in the home, hey, not here, only there. I mean, it's confusing, right? And then what's the most popular movies? What are the blockbuster hits? Let's just be honest. And I love them too, right? I've referenced them here. Every one of them has what in them? Violence. The love stories aren't making the 100 million over the 4th of July weekend, right? It's Independence Day that is. Let's just be real. All the best and biggest movies are ones that have violence. You say, well, that doesn't mean anything. Well, look at the primetime shows, all the way from NCIS to Rookie to, I could name them all out, and what are they based on? Violence. Then we get to video games. You got Madden, most popular. Then the rest of them underneath that, the next three are what? All about violence. And then we get surprised when there's a shooting in our schools, and we say, oh my goodness, and I say, how do we say, oh my goodness? We shouldn't be shocked, we should be sad. How can we be shocked when what we fuel in society is the opposite of peace, and then it comes out in our children and we say, oh my, how did that happen? Well, they watched, they saw, they played, they... What do we expect, church? And I don't mean to be like, this is speaking to me. I'm being real with you, like most of this spoke to me this week. And so when we put in, what do we expect to get out? Many of us get upset with Jesus. In fact, in that day, they got upset with Jesus, right? They were mad at him. Why? Because he was supposed to come in and just violently annihilate everyone that wasn't on. That's what they expected. He was supposed to go like a white horse and like just take everybody out and just, and yet he came in an opposite way. The forerunner did what brought peace. And Jesus actually just came in and said, I'm going to bring you internal peace, which is, y'all ever watch the Miss America pageant? You do. That's okay. You can admit it. Well, they do, but no, they watch the documentary on it. But you ever watch Miss Congeniality, which that has violence in it too, but okay. And she finally like gets to the point where she's like getting the point. And when it comes to her and the question is, you know, what do you most desire? And she says world peace and the whole place erupts, right? It is crazy. Like for many years, Miss America's did what? They said they desired world peace. That is lofty. I mean, it's amazing. I do hope for it. But here's kind of what I think. Could it be that the path to world peace begins with inner peace? Could it be that probably the best thing that a Miss America could say is if you really want world peace, it starts with you and Jesus. And it starts with the innermost parts of your heart, the innermost parts of your mind. And then as you really settle into peace, when you watch or see, it starts to bother you because what's in you is opposite of. Interestingly enough, this doesn't just happen to be the seventh beatitude. Jesus didn't just do what I do and like randomly pick from a list. He built and he built and he built. In fact, this week, the other day, I said to myself, well, Lord, this isn't always me, so I shouldn't be preaching this. I think I'm going to skip it. And the Lord said, no. Because just as I struggle for inner peace, I'm pretty sure that there's other people that do too. And so it's not seventh on purpose. And the only way that we can really understand inner peace is to understand last week, which is a pure heart that makes way for peace to come in. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalm 29:11. We kind of heard a little bit of that in worship today. And so, let's take a little journey. Old Testament, right? Can you say Old Testament? We should say OT. Kind of like OG, you know what I mean? OT, it's the OG, okay? Anyway, it's the OT. And in that Old Testament, they did the greeting of Shalom, right? Can you say Shalom? All right, well, that meant that you were actually affording someone else a gift. And when you translate it, you actually get that it's actually saying, hey, we are hoping for the goodness and all that God has to rest on you and your family. It wasn't just like, hey, how are you? Good to see you. Welcome. It wasn't like that. Those people were actually saying that when they encountered people, we hope for the goodness and the best of God to rest on you, for the peace of God to be in you. Interestingly enough, Jesus didn't greet people that way. Because I think that it would be like kind of wasted words thrown onto people that didn't really receive it. You know when he talked about shalom or when he said the words like go in peace? It was after encounters. So let's jump to the New Testament. If you look at Luke chapter 2, verse 14, this is a great moment. And we kind of like joke at home because my wife, all growing up, memorized this passage and like was the angel that would come out in the angel costume with the blonde hair and like speak, you know what I mean? Glory to God in the highest. And that would be her role. And so we kind of joke. So whenever I read this scripture, I kind of chuckle because I think of her as like a young kid and in blonde hair just saying that in the middle of the church. But interestingly enough, there's this host of angels. I don't know if you're familiar with this part of the passage. Jesus had just been born, and then we kind of fast forward like a couple of minutes to where the shepherds are, right? You know the scene, and the heavens kind of opened up, and a host of angels, that's another message for another day, came to give the word to the shepherds, and here's what they said to the shepherds. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Now, don't you wish it stopped there? Aren't there a lot of places, if you were just real with yourself and human, you would wish that the scripture just stopped there, but it doesn't. Peace among those with whom he is pleased. with whom he is pleased. Gracious. Sorry. Lost mine. Have you ever thought this? Think about this. Have you ever thought that the reason you do not experience peace is because Jesus is not pleased with you? We have such a desire for peace. But yet right off the bat, I don't think the angels or God or Jesus or John the Baptist ever lied to us and said, you can have peace without God. You can have peace without following his ways. You can have peace and be a disobedient person to Christ. You can have peace and be far from. You can have peace and, unfortunately, and maybe fortunately for the consistency and validity of the Word of God, it's always consistently spoken that the gifts that he has a desire to give to us have to rest and be placed in a heart that's willing. And here, the angels didn't get far from the message of Jesus, which was peace comes to those whom he is pleased with. And that is hard. So I guess the first question of the first half of what Jesus was saying, which was to be at peace, is there something in your life that maybe Jesus is not pleased with that needs to be pushed to the side for his peace to come in? So we get back to Jesus and his ministry. Let's just take two examples. We could take a lot more, but when you really look at the translations and the way he ended his encounters with people, his encounters, like true encounters, oftentimes ended with freedom for people. They were free from whatever they were bound with. Let's first look at, if you remember, there was a woman, she had long hair, and she had washed his feet in this oil, kind of upset other people. And when they were all done, he says, go in peace. When you translate it, it's like an inner and a outer peace. There's another time where a woman was walking along the street, and if you remember, she was bleeding for like 12 years, and she grabbed the cloth of Jesus' garment, or the hem, it says in the scripture, and she was healed, and he turned to her and said, go in peace, your faith has healed you. Interestingly enough, the way that translates, it wasn't just about the physical. The way he spoke it, he actually said, now you are at peace. Go. See, his greetings didn't start with, hey, let me bless you with peace. Let me bless you with the goodness of God. It was an encounter that resulted in a fresh work of the Spirit of God. All right, so you ready to add makers on there? Can you say makers? All right, so now we're there. Peacemakers, right? If you make something, you what? You create it. I was going to say make, but that's using the same word in the definition, okay? If you're a maker, right, you're creating something, you're doing something. In fact, here it says that you are to do or to make or to create, but not on your own. See, oftentimes we're created, but kind of on our own, right? Our own will, our own thoughts, our own patterns, our own stuff. But see, peacemakers are a result of the inner movement of the Spirit of God. So let's take a journey to understand. So they shall be called peacemakers. So shall be is translated, and I like this translation. It's K-A-L-E-O, but I'm going to do P-A-L-E-O and do paleo. Any of you paleo? That's like a way to eat. Okay, we did that for a long time. But anyway, you didn't get that. Second service did, but you didn't. That's okay. But I'm going to say paleo because it's hard. I could just say kaleo. Is that how you say it? Like kale? I'll just say kale. I'll take the O out. You like kale better? Kale or paleo, it doesn't matter, right? You know what it actually means? This is probably what you want to know. It's to call to any station. So Jesus was looking at the people and saying, if you'll allow your hearts to be pure, I'll make you peacemakers. Your inner self will be at peace, and then I will call you to some stations. Now, if you're a firefighter or someone like that, you know what it means to be called to the station. You're called to the station to then be what? Called out. Fascinating translation. He was saying, if you'll let me, then you're going to be called to any station. You won't know what that station is. You won't know when it is, where it is, what it is. But if you'll let me, I'll call you there. shall be called to an appointed time, to a chosen moment. It's not trained, it's not taught, it's stepped into. How often do we step into things that we're not trained for, that we're not taught, that we're not? The only times we do that is when we're really stepping in what? Faith. And Jesus was saying to the people, what you need is me. What you need is me, and then I'll, and when I appoint you, you will. It's a declaration of his nature working in us. And so what happens? Well, then he always gives the, and so here's the deal, like your job, let's call it a job, right? It is to be called a peacemaker. And if you're a peacemaker, it means you're taking the inner peace that you've got and then you're bringing it to spaces where other people are. Do you have people like this in your life? And maybe you don't, and maybe it's just me, but over the years, there's been people like this where there's a situation going on and they come into the situation. Now, some can make it worse, right? But let's not think about that. Let's think about those people that like something's going on and they just have a way of coming in and all of a sudden, it's like, oh, they're here. I mean, I hope they have people like that. There's often times where like things are going on at the house and Ashley's away and I'm not sure what to do and the kids are at odds and things aren't going well. And like Ashley just has a way, in fact, the kids already know it. Like she comes up to the gate, right? And they go running to tell her, which is what happens now, isn't it? They all, whoever can get there first to tell their story first, you know what I'm saying? Like they're at the gate. And so I'm just like, okay, I'll go on with what I'm doing. And then later on, she looks at me and says, why didn't you? I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like you got to work on all this. This is like too much. But anyway, she has a way of coming in, and it's like, whew. There are times where they're all at me, and some of my kids I understand, some don't. I'm getting better at, like, understanding all of them as they get better with their speech, but, like, I get confused, and she has a way of what? She just can hear it. In fact, my oldest has that same kind of way. But, church, there's people in our lives that just come in, and they just have a way of, like, they come in, and it's like, okay, it's going to be okay. What Jesus is saying here is that that's me. That's you. It's every one of us in this room. Because see, Jesus has a way of coming in to a situation with a woman who has been bleeding. And not only does he touch the bleeding, but he touches the heart. Not only does he receive the blessing of being anointed, but then he passes it back and says, now you're at peace. Not only does he bend over and write in the ground and keep the person protected, he then says, now you get to go in peace. You're whole. You're with me. And he says to us, like, if you'll let me, then I'll give you the space. I'll give you the title. I'll give you the dignity to be that person that passes peace on and becomes a maker of peace. So then what happens? Well, Jesus is actually saying that you get to be a part of the birth. And not the physical birth. You get to be a part of the what? The spiritual birth. The growth. The life. The sacrifice. All of a sudden, you're a partner with Jesus in the work. And then all of a sudden, what you thought one time was like really hard and drudging around and like I'm just making it as a Christian, all of a sudden you begin to say, I don't want to just make it, I want to thrive. I don't want to just make it, I want to see the new birth. I want to see the... So, think about this last, I just have three last things to say. One statement, two questions. Peace, the way that Jesus is talking about it here, is freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. And so all of a sudden, as his peace comes in, those thoughts that keep us up at night no longer keep us up at night. Those things that rob us no longer rob us. Those things that we can't get past, we start to get past. And he begins to move. He begins to come in. He begins to bring inner peace. And then all of a sudden, we begin to pass that peace. We begin to be that person that when we step in the room, they're like, okay, so-and-so's here. They've got something I don't, and they're bringing something to the table that I don't have yet. And we begin to pass on. we begin to share. And so then not only are we experiencing peace, but those around us are experiencing peace. It's crazy to think, and I know it's a corny example, but I mean, you can even Google world peace and it'll bring up Miss America. But man, imagine if many, many years ago, someone would have just said, hey, obviously the world is not at peace. And obviously whatever we're doing to bring peace, like war, it's not working. And so maybe we need to just get on our hands and feet and say, it starts. And then begin to work out from there. I'll just tell you just kind of a little thought that maybe you need to take. And that is, what's robbing your inner peace? Well, violence does. And so if you're putting violence in, then you're probably not going to be at peace, because it just has a way of arousing something in us. And I'm not saying, I'm not a video gamer and all that, but I'm going to say today that there are some things that rob peace from our lives. And for some of us, we're in charge of other people, right? Or we're responsible, or we've been gifted the time to invest in other people. And by us allowing certain things in our homes, in our children's minds, we're robbing them of their peace early. And so maybe if we stick with the words of the angels, that is that God brings peace to those who he's pleased with. And so what might he not be pleased with? So a little journey in our home. Like, I used to love football. I still do love football. But like, I don't know, there's just been some realities in my mind that I'm not against football. I'll watch it this year. But like, that I don't know, it doesn't hold the place that it used to, right? Because then when I am sitting down with families who are dealing with kids that are like out of control and they're violent, and I think, well, you know, gosh, am I helping that industry? When I think about video games that kids are playing, like, we just don't allow them in our home, because I just don't know how you can't watch it and not implement it. And how much self-control it must take to play that way and see the reality of what they look like now, and it not result in, you know, like, gosh, you're talking conservative. I am a little bit, because I am concerned. And as I watch teachers stand in each service before us and know that, like, every year, what happens? Violence. And so my heart is concerned for our teachers, our young people, And so I guess in order to see peace in the hearts of the people that you come in contact with, the people that you're responsible for, is there something in your life that's not pleasing that has to be? Maybe it's a practice, a habit. And then maybe when you push that out of the way, and maybe you can handle it, you can see it and not enact it, okay, I'm good with whatever. Honestly, it's your decision. I'm not convicting. But maybe we haven't grabbed onto the fact that if you really are a believer and you really see these scriptures as true, and Jesus speaking to people that he knew one time would begin to do it, because only a couple years later, I'm pretty sure most of them gave their hearts to the Lord and then started being what? Peacemakers. Bringing the hope that they had inside of them to others. And so maybe as you push those things away, you make more space for you to become the peacemaker in every situation that you find yourself in. And see, I think that would be the answer that a Miss America could give. It starts with the heart, and it starts with a connection to Jesus, which brings true peace. And so the challenge today is, push out what's not pleasing. Push out, and I'm using movies and stuff as an example, but push out the violence, because the opposite of peace is violence. Push it out and see what happens. Push it out and see what happens in your home. See what happens in your heart. Because God has given you the opportunity. I wouldn't see it as like this hard, hard thing that has to be done, but he's given you the opportunity and the power and the strength to be a peacemaker. And then he said, you're going to look like the family. Now, sons here, it's not gender related. It's actually meaning like you're a part of the, so you become like the family. you know, some of you look like your family, right? Let's just get over it, okay? If you look at the two of them, our grandchildren look like them. That's okay, because there's family likeness. And then all of a sudden, all of you, as you really let this be your heart and you live it out, you start to look alike. And then you start to have the family likeness of Jesus. You start to see the hopes. You start to see the hearts. You start to see the futures. You start to see the really good things that God has in store for people. And so, as you commit to it, you become just like Jesus, doing the work that he's called you to. And then all of a sudden, that family grows. And then that family's likeness looks more and more like Jesus. So this week, go out, push out, and press in. God, we love you so much. We thank you for this day. God, each of us probably today could say there's areas that we need to push out so that peace can come in, so that we can then be acted upon by your power, by your presence, to be peacemakers in this world. We love you, we praise you, and we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much for being here. We are so glad that you're here. Have a great week.